Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes on Sunday by email every week, and it'll get you ready for the week ahead. Tom Mast is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and a new friend. Tom is the author of Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage, and he's going to talk to us about that issue, which I think is, as you know, I don't have to convince you that that's a very important topic for all of us right now as we continue to try to run a profitable business, which at least if not heavily, somewhat is dependent upon the price that we pay for oil, our ability to be profitable. And Tom's going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on out there in that sector of the marketplace, the petroleum sector, the energy sector, and what we can expect in the future. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
Tom, one of the things that I tell my audience is that helps me to put this in perspective if I think about it this way, and I like your thoughts on it. And I'd say that petroleum is the oxygen of the marketplace. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a good analogy. Most people don't stop to think of all the effects that petroleum and other forms of cheap energy have on our lifestyle and our businesses. It's absolutely critical.
Well, it is, and you can't, as they say down in Texas, where you're from there, Tom, you can't swing a cat without hitting something that's connected to petroleum, can you?
That's true, but Texas is less dependent on petroleum than it was two or three or four decades earlier, and that's good, I suppose, because petroleum worldwide is going to reach a peak in production fairly soon. We have burned up in the last 90 or 100 years approximately half of the petroleum that it took hundreds of millions of years to create.
They call that peak oil, right? Isn't that the term that they use, peak oil? Is that where we're headed, peak oil?
That's correct, and we don't know exactly when we'll get there, whether it'll be this year or in a few years, but whenever it is, it will be soon compared to the amount of time that it takes to create the alternatives to oil, and alarmingly, we don't even know what those are.
So peak oil is the point. Give us the exact definition of what that is, because we're probably
going
to hear it again.
Peak oil is the time at which the worldwide production of oil peaks and begins to decline, and when that happens, while the worldwide demand continues to grow, then there's going to be a gap or a
shortage. We think at this point there's more left than we've used, once we get to peak, then we're on the downhill slide, and that's when we're going to start actually running out. And unfortunately, though, Tom, at that moment, that's when our demand will probably be the greatest, won't it?
Well, our demand is growing at about 2.3% a year, and if oil peaked and began to drop at only, let's say, 0.5% a year, or when it peaks and that happens, unless we've either developed alternatives or have begun to economize, neither of which we've done very well so
right.
far.
We've gone the other way, actually, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've gone the opposite of economizing. No one really knows, at least no one except maybe the Saudis, how much oil is in Saudi Arabia, right?
There's some truth to that, and there's going to be a new book out by Matthew Simmons in a couple of months that's going to deal with that subject. But the Saudis have been fairly close-mouthed about
what their
reserves are.
And the thing is they could actually, for all we know, they could be about to run out of oil.
They could be closer than many people have said they were. That's true.
I've heard, though, that there is an oil reserve, an untapped and unclaimed oil reserve in Iraq that's huge. Do you know anything about that?
Not specifically, but everybody has some tale of what's going to save us, whether it's Anwar or whether it's Iraq or whether it's Russia. But if you look at the facts, the worldwide discoveries of oil peaked in the 1950s and have declined significantly since then. In the decade of the 1990s, worldwide discoveries of oil were down to a fourth of what they were in the 1950s. So
Right. We're
pumping oil that was discovered a long time ago, and we're not discovering oil for the next decades.
What about ANWR, the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge? And I'm sorry, folks, if you were watching CNN right now, they'd be showing little deer and bunnies hopping around. So I don't have those same kind of effects when I do this on the radio. But I guess I can whistle a little tune. But Tom, pardon my sarcasm, but tell us what your thoughts are on drilling in ANWR.
Well, again, ANWR is not going to solve the problem. There is a significant amount of oil there, and after it's tapped and in use, which may be as much as a decade from now, it will provide, perhaps 7% of the United States demand during its lifetime.
But that's not an insignificant number, though.
No, it's a significant number, but it doesn't solve the problem.
Right. Well, what is the problem, Tom? Give us that in your opinion of that in a nutshell.
Well, the problem is that oil production is going to peak soon, and demand continues to go up because we don't conserve, and so there's going to be a shortage, and we need to be aggressively developing, doing research and development on alternatives to oil.
Alternatives.
Whether it's hydrogen.
Give us an example of what that would be.
Well, hydrogen is one that's mentioned often. But
hydrogen fuel cells?
Well, hydrogen can be used in several ways. It could be burned directly. It could be used in fuel cells. But the problem is that hydrogen doesn't exist in nature in a readily usable form the way coal, natural gas, and oil do. And so it has to be separated from whatever chemical compounds it's bound up in. And natural gas, it can be produced by using a fair amount of energy from natural gas, but natural gas is another finite resource that we're going to run low on fairly soon. It can also be produced from water, but it takes much more energy to produce it than you get out of it.
Is that right? Well, when we come back after these messages, I want you to talk about some of these other alternative fuels, because I agree with you. I mean, I feel like you're probably like me. I'm no tree hugger, but I do believe that we've got to come up with some alternatives, and we got to start on it right now. And so we're going to get Tom Mast to help us with that. He's the author of the new book, Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage. The author's title is Tom Mast, M-A-S-T. I'm Jim Blasingame. It's 20 after. We'll be right back.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
We're back. It's set 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our new friend, Tom Mast, the author of Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage. And, Tom, I'd like for you to give us your website, please, and tell us where your book's available.
Okay, the website is www.overabarrelbook.com.
All right.
And it will tell people a little bit more about the book and where they can get it. But they should be able to get it at their local bookstores. It's new. If the store doesn't have it, just ask them to order it.
Look for the book.
You can buy it online at BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com.
Look for the book with the profile of a gas pump on the cover. That's one of the ways you can see it from across the room. So check that out when you get a chance. And folks, I really think that if you'd like to know where the energies, our world in energy is going, I think you can find it. You can get some good perspectives from reading what Tom has to say. Tom, let's talk about hydrogen again. The former CEO of General Motors, and his name is escaping me for the moment. I'll think of it in a minute. Bob, he's now the chairman of a company in Michigan that's working on hydrogen fuel cells. And a year or two ago, I heard a lot of information, a lot of excitement about that sort of thing. But for the last year or so, it sort of died down. Where are we with hydrogen? Do you know?
Well, hydrogen has some really serious disadvantages, and many people think that if it ever rolls out into widespread use, it will be decades. And so hanging our hat on hydrogen is a dangerous thing to do.
Are there any – by the way, his name is Bob Stemple. I just couldn't get it out a minute ago.
Okay.
Tom, are there any? Is there any silver bullet propulsion system and fuel out there that you see? What if there were something like that in the next, say, 50 years? What would? What do you think it would? Where do you think it'll come from?
Well, in the book, I tried to avoid specifically naming things because no one person is smart enough to do that.
Well, I know that's in the book. This is on the show. We need the entertainment, Tom. Go ahead.
But I am somewhat prejudiced toward. Electric cars and also what's called plug-in hybrid electrics.
Right.
And the reason is that the reason oil-based fuels have been so popular is that oil has the energy density and the portability that automobiles and airplanes require.
Right.
And if you try to think of running an airplane or a vehicle on coal or wind energy or hydroelectric energy or nuclear energy, then you very quickly realize how important oil is to vehicles.
Right.
97% of our transportation fuel comes from oil. And so, but if cars ran on electricity, then you could plug them in at night and charge them. And that electricity could come from all of these sources of fuel I just mentioned, including the renewable ones like wind and solar.
So if we were going to invest in something that could really change the world, why wouldn't we invest in new battery technology?
I think we need to accelerate our research and development into better batteries that can provide longer range.
That's the key, isn't it? Because
they
figured out a way to store the energy so that you get the acceleration that we like from a internal combustion engine, haven't we?
That's right. We don't get the performance out of electric cars, but it sure beats walking.
But I think that they have come up with some ways to get that kind of acceleration. They have to think differently. It doesn't just come from the engine, but it seems to me that that's the future. What about coal and natural gas?
Natural gas supplies are almost as limited as oil supplies, and we're using natural gas more and more because it's a cleaner hydrocarbon than the other two, and so if we're not careful, we will paint ourselves into a corner on natural gas. Also, coal supplies, the world has at least 200 years of coal supplies, so they're not quite so critical, but coal is the dirtiest of the hydrocarbon fuels. It produces the most contaminants, and in particular carbon dioxide, which leads to global warming.
And it's not as universally usable as some of the others either. What about nuclear?
Nuclear, we all know that the whole world has been concerned about the safety of nuclear and also about the disposal of nuclear waste problem. But, again, we're a very innovative people, and if we make our mind up to do something, we can probably do it, and we need to solve those problems. And if we were to have a lot of electric cars, for example, then we would have to generate more electric power. And if
Right.
we do that, where do we get that fuel? Natural gas, coal, or nuclear power is one
Right.
of the options. And so we need to solve those problems.
Tom, I've got about 30 seconds, and I'm going to get you back on another day because I think you've got more to tell us. But what would you like to say to my audience in the last 30 seconds?
Well, I would say that everyone should be encouraging his or her federal representatives, congressmen and senators, to accelerate research and development on alternatives to oil, and secondly, conserving fuels in their personal lives, buying smaller, more economical cars, buying hybrids, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Tom. Give us your website one more time.
www.overabarrelbook.com.
All right, and the book is called Over a Barrel, and check it out wherever books are sold. Tom, good job today. Thank you for being here. Congratulations on the book, and we'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim.
Tom Mast, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to check out his book when you get a chance. Quick break, 29 after. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
The Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.